So, good morning once again to all our listeners around the world. This is Satchinama. I'm here at Adishtana, still on the March 2016 Preceptors College meeting. This morning I've got with me two of the senior members of the college, Dharmadina, just like to say
hello,
and Pemavadra.
Good morning.
And we're going to be talking this morning a bit about the work the college does training private preceptors. So both Dharmadina and Pemavadra are involved in respective retreats for private preceptors. Yep. So I know, Dharmadina, you've been involved in the women's retreats right from the beginning. So can you say when they started?
Yes, and I was trying to remember. I think it's about 2004, 2005, when we began to increase the pool of private preceptors. So I remember retreat it to like around that time with not very many of us, but, you know, a dozen. Mm. And then we've had a retreat every year since for women private preceptors. We've got one coming up in April. I think we've got 48 people booked already, so we'll have more. So it's really expanded over that time.
And who's the team of public preceptors that generally works?
It's the team of public preceptors.
So who does that include?
Usually it's Maitrey, Ratnadharani, me, Dainandi, Padmasuri, Karen Davy sometimes if she's over, and
And what sort of things are you exploring on those retreats?
I think in the beginning they were just pretty free-form. And I do remember we had a, looking at Pemavadra, we had a talk in the college about running a more consistent training. We did ethics, meditation, wisdom. Do you remember those 3 years back in the day? I think since about 2009, since the papers, we've probably gone through the papers, you know, explored the papers as they've come out on those retreats. And now, so we have ours in April usually. We've had two college meetings since the last one. And we just work with whatever is live in the college meeting.
Now, Pemavadra, so the men's ones used to happen at Pamaloga, is that right?
They did, yes. And I think they probably started around the same time.
Right? Yeah.
And they've been an annual event?
They've been an annual event, yeah. Now, of course, they're here.
Right.
At Adishtana.
And you're involved again in a team, so who do you work with?
So, Sadaloka, Satyaraja, Maitreya Bandhu, Paramabandhu, Paramabandhu if you can get freed up from work, Dharmarati, Surita, Mahamati, Artapriya. So it's pretty much most of the men public preceptors.
So presumably that's quite satisfying. You get quite a strong sense of working as a team. So.
Yeah, and we had one recently actually, just a few weeks ago here at Adishtana, about 52 of us on it. And so every evening we were meeting as the public preceptor team was meeting and talking about the retreat. We had to kind of improvise a bit because of the different needs that we were finding in the retreat, but it was really very, very good, very harmonious, very positive atmosphere. One of the, as people were saying, it was one of the best order gatherings that they'd been, just as an order gathering, leaving aside whether or not we were public or private preceptors. It felt like a kind of like an order convention in a sense. Of.
And you led some study on that? That's
I did. I led study on going through some of the Kadampa precepts, as they're called, the precepts collected from here, from here and there, which is from a book called The Door of Liberation by Geshe Wangyal. And it's the very short pith teachings of Atisha and his immediate disciple, Geshe Drom, and others. And I was leading study on that, but mainly pulling things out of the seminar that Bhante did back in the 70s, just drawing out points to do with the path of the Dhamma and so on.
And other things, presumably, do you cover things like sadhana?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's
recently we've been back to looking at sadhana. Last year's we...
So that will be a theme for your one coming up?
Last year, and we'll do it this year because there's new information coming out that Bhante wants us to communicate. We've done the four lineages, done all sorts of things, but always related to what Bhante wants communicated most currently, I guess. I think one of the things with the women private precepts, I don't know if this is the same for you, it probably is, but right from the start we decided we wanted everybody to come every year. So rather than just being for new private preceptors, however long you've been a private preceptor, we say you need to come and keep training because there's always new new things happening, and that's built a very strong sense of sangha amongst right. us. And also yes. means we've got, if we've got public preceptors away at Akashavana, which we have this year, so we've got a smaller team than normal, we can ask some quite senior private preceptors to help us out, lead a group or so on. But there's a very strong sense of community amongst people who do love to come, they want to come.
Yeah, I remember my own experience of Mitra Convener's meetings, the fact that they were happening regularly, you did form friendships amongst those people, and that kind of cooler builds up, doesn't it?
Yeah. Somebody said to me, I think it was last year or the year before, I think it was her first private preceptor's retreat, and I was quite, you know, I was surprised by this. She said, it's one of the best retreats I've ever been on, and that's interesting because, you know, there's lots of meditation retreats and so on, and it's not like that. It's kind of discursive in some ways. And I asked her why, and she said she just got into the shrine room. It was here, I was telling her, she got into the shrine room, and she just felt she went very deep in herself. And it was because everybody shared the same... if we share the same level of responsibilities, you know, trying to do the same thing.
Same vision.
Yeah, same vision. And that kind of had such an impact on the retreat. So it's interesting to hear that.
Mm. Yeah, and a similar, presumably, on...
I think so, yeah. I think one of the things is that there's just a very strong... I think it happens that not just on retreats like the private preceptor retreats, but you mentioned the Mitra Convener's meeting, which is very retreat-like in many ways. Mm. But I think it's where you've got that combination of the dynamic, as it were, the dialectic even between your own individual spiritual practice and actually really involved in benefiting others from that practice. You know, and I think that that's the, my experience generally, that is the strongest experience I have of Sangha within the order, where it's not just simply about your own personal transformation, but that personal transformation is seen in relation to others very, very strongly in the communication of the Dharma and the the joyous communication of Sangha, you know, to others. I mean, one of we have a number of themes like Dharma Dinner's private preceptor retreats on our private preceptor retreat. So as well as study, looking at things like sadhana, we were also talking about one of the themes that I've gone into many, many times on these retreats, and I'm still sort of exploring this whole business of what it means to witness somebody's coming for refuge, because that is the essence of the private ordination. And you know, I gave a little talk about that. I've given a number of talks about that, and what it really means to do that, really trying to get inside that, you know, that way of talking, what Bhante's given us there. So, you know, that usually brings up a very stimulating, you know, discussion. The other thing we did, for example, is take new private preceptors through the ordination ceremony.
Right.
You know, just go through each phase of it and, you know, how to do the chanting. And but it also means you have to... you know, talk about evoke the significance and meaning of that. And I think there's sort of, I mean, one of the areas I'm also interested in, and I talk with private preceptors and indeed with other order members and men of Ask for Ordination, is the whole business of somebody asking for a private preceptor, asking an order member to be their private preceptor. I personally think there still needs to be a lot more education about that. I think sometimes people don't really know what they're asking for, and the order member doesn't even know what they're agreeing to.
Right.
And I think that's a whole area that needs a lot of exploration, actually. It's not enough to just have criteria for private preceptors, and, you know, you have a conversation, a deep conversation in the chapter, and a whole consultation process. There's something, I think, to understand spiritually about the nature of that relationship, which goes very deep. And it is interesting to note that in Tibetan Lam Rim texts, you always have a section on a chapter on teachers and friends. And they give the criteria of what a spiritual teacher is, what the disciple is, what their relationship should be. It's there as a stage of the path. It's not incidental. And I think it's incredibly important because the number of times I've seen where it goes wrong, it's often because people haven't really thought about what they're asking for and what they're agreeing to. Well, it's very, very painful because it's associated with your deepest ideals, you know, the point where you became an order member.
So that's sort of when unrealistic expectations.
Unrealistic expectations on both sides sometimes. And
I think it can be just seen as a personal relationship that very much has to be in a much deeper and wider context. And I think, so people who are entering the consultative process come on our preceptor, they're not yet a preceptor, not yet appointed, so they come. And that adds to their, it's not something always you can talk about, is it? That being with other private preceptors in that context, I think they begin to understand what it really means, what its significance is for the order as a whole.
Yeah.
And presumably for the two, I mean, you two have been private preceptors for quite a long time now.
Yeah. But,
you know, in a way, I imagine one's knowledge and understanding of that process deepens over time. It's not something that you have fully fledged when you do your first ordination.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And is that process still deepening
for the two of you
in terms of the ordinations you conduct? Or?
Yeah, I haven't done many private ordinations for a while. I did one in December, actually. So
that's bravado,
great. Isn't it? I reordained someone who I'd ordained and resigned, so that was very significant.
I think it's still
It still unfolds, doesn't it? Yeah. It's very different.
I think the significance it always deepens, and we're still, I think, individually and collectively trying to understand what a private preceptor is, because they're not a teacher, they're not a caliometra, but they might, that those things might be included, and we're also not gurus or. You know, Bantis made that very, very clear. It's a warm and friendly relationship, but the whole relationship isn't quite the right word either. But Banti, one of the things I think that's very important is that the person who's asking regards the order member they're asking, they have genuine, warm respect for they're going for refuge.
Yeah.
And they've got an ease of connection with that person because the whole business of being witnessed is that it's from somebody you have some confidence in, and that has an enormous effect on your own confidence yourself. I mean, looking back at my own private ordination, well, we didn't really distinguish, did we? It was just Banti ordaining, but there was this incredible sense of being taken incredibly seriously, more seriously than I took myself. And that released a lot of energy in terms of Dharma life. And of course, when it goes well, the private preceptor, person ordained connection, and most of them do go well, it has such a positive effect. You know, it really amplifies and one's Dharma life, I think.
I think it's different from when we were doing most of our private ordinations, probably, isn't it? Because you were at Pavanaika and I was at Tirunaloka. I didn't see the people I was privately ordained on a daily or regular or weekly basis. They came on retreat and I met up with them. And I ordained quite a lot of people. We both privately ordained quite a lot of people, haven't we? Whereas now, so many more private preceptors means that some people might still ordain quite a lot of people, but they might only ordain two or three or four, and they're probably often local private preceptors. So that relationship is more regular, can go deeper, more regular contact. The whole thing about being in Nisaya or the training period 5 years after ordination, you have much more communication. My communication with people was when they came to see me, or it was by email or phone. So I think it's different. I think it's better. Not that, my people have been had a rough time, but I'm in contact with all of them. But it's very different, I think. And that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have more private preceptors.
Yeah, and that's actually quite substantial now, isn't it? There's something like 220, 230 private preceptors. Over 10% of the order are involved in that witnessing of other people's going for refuge in that way. I know, so these retreats that you do here, these annual retreats for private preceptors, I mean, obviously they're open to private precepts from all around the world, but not everyone can make it. So some of the other public preceptors do work with private preceptors in other parts of the world?
Yes.
Do you know?
America, I know they do.
So Dharmarati does some of that, doesn't he?
Yeah,
Karen Davey and
Shashri will do things. It might be that they meet up for a few days prior to going to refugee. I'm not quite sure how they do it. Sometimes they've had a mixed preceptors meeting in America recently. The same in New Zealand, Australia, I'm sure they.
Yeah, so that's another Bodhi and Sona on the men's side, isn't
it?
Yeah,
and there's Faradevi and Dhammanandi and Mega on the women's side.
So they
two
have
in New
retreats.
Zealand, one in Australia, quite spread out. But yeah, they have, again, they have an annual going for refuge retreat. They probably meet during that or around that because of distance.
Yeah.
Mainland Europe people come to us here.
Yes, yeah.
And Saruti was saying in India they have private preceptors retreats there, which they're all the private preceptors attend, don't they? And also a little Latin cooler as well.
Yes.
And Spanish speaking cooler as well.
Yeah, because that's growing as well. We might have some new Latin, Spanish speaking women private preceptors.
Yeah. So it's quite an important part of
it's
the work
very
of the college, isn't it?
Very,
yeah.
And
so
increasing, I think.
Yeah. It's our next sort of constituency of communication, isn't it? You know. We're all working the same thing to develop the order, increase the order.
I mean, at the last private preceptors retreat we did, that we brought up a number of areas to do with, not just to do with, the work of working with people individually, but items of real general significance to the order that we've been talking about in the college. And one of the things that was very striking about that was Sadaloka, who was sort of chairing the meeting, sort of just really inviting people's input from the private preceptors. So there was a very strong sense of working together. You know, it wasn't the sort of sense where the public preceptors turn up with this stuff and just put it on the on the preceptors or anything like that, just because some of the private preceptors are very, very experienced order members and there's a lot of wisdom and knowledge in that whole body. And, from the youngest, the newest private preceptor to some of the oldest, and it was just incredibly helpful. You had this sense of a really
community.
Good body of people really working together for the welfare of the order. Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks both of you for coming on this morning to share some of your thoughts on the private preceptor retreat. So one more thing.
Should just add to do with private preceptors retreat, lest it sounds, and I'm sure this is true of Dhammadinas retreats as well, that it's not just a talking about stuff. We did a lot of training practice as well, particularly not just meditation and puja, but doing sadhana together, particular sadhanas. Mm-hmm. We were concentrating particularly on a sadhana that one of Bhante, that Chanmin Khensi Rinpoche gave to Bhante, called the practice of Mahakarinika and Mahamudra conjointly, which is a quite elaborate meditation on the forearm Dhammalokiteshvara. So we were doing that together and we also studied it as well together.
And our forthcoming women's private preceptor retreat, which we've just planned while we're here, we're going to focus around the Manjugosha Stuti Sadhana, which we've been studying here, and we'll be doing Shaolin practice.
So both of those are practices that Bhante himself received and practiced along with.
Once communicated, so it's an opportunity to do that.
Great. Okay, well, thanks once again.
Thank you, Sachin.
Okay. Thank you.